Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, where experts from Bing share critical new research on paid search. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon responsive website platform. We've also been awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented seventh year in a row. We just got another one. Thank you very much for that. We also took home the AWA Award for Best Websites 3 times. Plus, recently, FCA and Ford both announced that we are now an approved vendor. Big things are happening over here at Dealer On. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at DealerOn.com. Hey, are you losing valuable traffic to a slow mobile site? It's estimated that well over half of your website traffic is coming from mobile devices. Don't you worry, though, because DealerOn's got your back. We offer a mobile site speed test for free. You can get yours after the webinar. Just give us your URL and let the magic begin. It's a great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. And Dealer On will be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Vegas at the end of March. If you're going to be there, stop by booth 3493 Charlie. We have the best booth around, and we're not just bringing the best digital marketing tools and some free booze to NADA this year. We're also bringing some serious knowledge. Our very own Greg Gifford will have 2 sessions on the Lego Master Builder's Guide to Local SEO for Car Dealers. Figure out what's holding your dealership back from showing up in Google searches in your area. We've also got Michael DeVito, our Chief Creative Officer, who's going to talk about selling more cars with your mobile website strategy in Pave the Path to Purchase. Turn website traffic to sales. I can't wait to see you there. I'm going to be there. I'm very excited. So keep your eyes peeled for me at booth 3493C. And we have an amazing show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Christy Olson as our presenter today. Christy Olson is the head of evangelism for Bing at Microsoft and is a member of the board of SEMPO. For over a decade, Christy has led digital marketing teams at Microsoft, Expedia, Harry & David, Pointmark, and Pointit. She is passionate about search marketing and has spent her career helping businesses solve their marketing challenges and goals through studying and analyzing data to develop actionable insights and strategies. Christy has been recognized by PPC Hero and her peers as one of the top 25 most influential PPC experts in 2015, 2016, and 2017. Wow. You can follow her on Twitter or connect with her on LinkedIn. Now, joining Christy Olson today is first-time Dealer On webinar presenter Amanda Passiola, who has spent her career in the digital advertising space and is currently an analytical lead at Microsoft. As an analytical lead, Amanda utilizes the breadth of Microsoft's product portfolio and the power of predictive analytics and machine learning to analyze trends and consumer behavior. Amanda empowers Microsoft's top automotive customers through focused brand narratives, driving performance and growth with the unique and actionable insights, and she can be reached through LinkedIn as well. Now, I gotta let you know, both of these very smart ladies will be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Orlando. It's April 10th through the 12th. And they're going to be speaking on 2 completely different topics as well. So if you think they're great on this webinar, wait till you hear them in person. Believe me, you are not going to want to miss this. You're definitely going to want to check both of them out. For more information on that Digital Dealer Convention or to buy tickets, make sure you visit digitaldealer.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. And don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at Microsoft, they're giving away a cool prize on today's webinar. One lucky webinar attendee will win a Microsoft Harman Kardon Invoke. Let me tell you, people, it is the best audio quality of any home speakers ever. This is so fabulous. This prize is valued at $200, but believe me, you're going to want this, so stick around for that. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it. So stay tuned, and who knows, you might be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want to hear what you have to say. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to know what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Christy J. Olson at, oh, you guessed it, Christy J. Olson. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's listen in as experts from Bing share critical new research on paid search. Let me say hi to Christy Olson first. Christy, thank you so much for coming back to the Dealer On Education series. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Eliana. We're just so glad to be here and to join you today.
Oh, I'm so stoked. And you know what? My audience loves to hear about new research. And you know what? Quite frankly, we don't get to hear from you nice people over at Bing enough. So thank you so much for coming back. And today, you brought with you one of the analytical leads over at Microsoft. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, ladies, I know you have a lot of information to drop today, so I'm not even going to stand in your way anymore. Why don't you just get started by telling everyone the kinds of things we're going to be learning about, and let's get this ball rolling.
Perfect. So what we're going to be reviewing today is, again, we're going to be looking at how we drive performance and efficiency by appearing in the right position on the SERP. We're going to talk about aligning your strategy to consumer behavior. We're going to talk about what it means to own the SERP, this digital strategy that allows you to keep competitors from stealing performance and from stealing clicks. And we're going to talk about ways to mine for new opportunities based on what's occurring in the marketplace. We're also going to have a giveaway, and we'll have a question and answer session at the very end. So let's dive right in.
So this is Christy, and so what I say is one of the things I want to start with, because when I did the webinar last time, one of the questions we got was, why should I advertise on Bing? And we waited to the very end to answer that question, so I wanted to start with this today. And I know this seems somewhat self-serving, but did you guys know on the webinar that Bing gets about 1 in 5 clicks coming in from search engines? That's about 20% market share. On desktops, it's 33%. So if your consumers are on PCs as well as on mobile devices, Bing is a really good place for you to advertise to get in front of those consumers. I pulled a couple of our automotive stats just because they're so much more relevant to you. So when you think about this, there are 86 million automotive searches across the U.S. happening on Bing each year. And when we think about that, we also reach about 17 million searchers that aren't on Google. So that's a pretty good percentage of overall searchers that you could reach if you're advertising on Bing, not on Google. It counts out to about 40% of all automotive paid clicks. Just some good reasons why I would say consider Bing and think about Bing. And as we get to the next area, what I do want to do is we have a poll question just to get started, because that'll actually help us understand a little bit more about you, our audience, to figure out how we might tweak some of the content as we go. So, Eliana?
That would be great. Yes, let's start off with a poll question. It's on the screen now, and audience, if you've been on my show before, then you know we really need your help on this. So please get to your screen, answer this question for us. We want to know, it's a simple one. Are you currently advertising on Bing Ads? Easy, right? Please select one of the following answers. Yes, and it's working great for us. Yes, but we're not quite seeing the results that we would like. No, I don't have time to add another advertising channel. No, I want to, but I haven't started yet. Or you know what? I'm not really in charge of the advertising at our dealership, so I'm not really sure if we're advertising on Bing. Whatever the answer is, we want to know. So get those answers in. We'll leave the poll question open for a few more seconds. Also, I want to let you know, as I said before, we really want to see you take advantage of all advertising opportunities that could possibly bring more traffic to your website. Bing is an excellent opportunity to do so. So if you're having questions about how to make your advertising work better on Bing, babe, I brought you the goods today. These two ladies know what they're talking about, so get those questions in. We're really looking forward to a nice, robust Q&A session with them at the end of the show. All right. Ah, Christy and Amanda, wait till you see these answers. Oh, my goodness. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. We're going to close this poll now, and let's share the results and see what everyone had to say. All right, so the question was, are you currently advertising on Bing Ads? Well, the majority of people today, 31% in fact, said yes, and it's working great for us. I love that answer. 17% of today's audience followed up with yes, but they admit they're not quite seeing the results that they'd like. 9% of today's audience feel that they're too overwhelmed, and they just couldn't possibly have time to add another advertising channel. But another 31% of today's audience, tied with the front runner, says, no, I want to advertise on Bing, but I haven't started yet. And then the remaining 11% of today's audience say they're not sure if they're advertising on Bing right now. So, Christy and Amanda, does that help you out at all?
That does, and it just gives me a little idea of who's advertising, who's not, in part because some of the research we're bringing, and I love working with Amanda, and she sits on what we call our insights team, where they dig into data and information across Microsoft's network and across Bing to understand how consumers are engaging, interacting with our products, with the search results. Is it gives an idea of, are you guys doing it, are you not, and how can we talk to the value that Bing can bring, as well as why you should consider Bing. And so with that, the next slide we go into is all about the automotive purchase decision process. Right now, if you think about it, 76% of all car buyers use the internet to shop. I know I'm definitely one of them. I'm in the market right now for a car that can fit two rear-facing car seats so I can take my son and a friend with us, and I'm using the internet all the time to do it. Amanda, I'll let you take it from here.
Perfect. So thank you, Christy. So as everyone said, my name's Amanda, and I'm an analytical lead at Microsoft specific to automotive, and I'm excited to be able to share with you some industry work that we have done. So as Christy said, when we talk about the auto purchases journey, we talk about what that looks like. We know search plays an important role in the marketing mix. 76% of car buyers use the internet to shop. 69% of car buyers start off knowing little about the vehicle that they want to purchase. So that research phase and that time spent shopping online for a vehicle becomes incredibly influential in helping to determine what model and make the consumer purchases and where they purchase it. So when we look at the automotive marketplace, we see that the average age of a vehicle owned has been on the increase, representing pent-up demand in the marketplace that we expect to happen. So demand we want to ensure that we're prepared to capture, demand we want to ensure that we know how to correctly capitalize on. When we look to 2018 and what the competitive marketplace is going to look like, 75 new vehicles are expected to launch, a significant increase when we compare that to 2017. We're looking at an additional 3.09 million additional units put into the marketplace once all new models are released by 2019. So therefore, preparing properly to capitalize on that additional demand requires a strategic strategy in order to not only capitalize on that demand, but ensure that you're outperforming competition. So we have a few examples of what the automotive research journey looks like and how competitive it can be and how complicated it can get in terms of when a consumer is searching for a new model, a new make or a new vehicle overall, what that looks like, how much consideration goes into it. So, for example, we look at the Lincoln Navigator, and when we pull this information, these are just examples, we're looking across the entire Microsoft ecosystem. So we're looking at information regarding our Bing search, how people are searching, but we're also using the breadth of other products that we have in Microsoft. We're using our Edge and IE logs to understand how consumers are searching in terms of what landing pages are they going on, how they're navigating the internet outside of search. So it really allows us to get a comprehensive view about how people are navigating this research process. And as you can see, it's very complicated. When we look at this example, there are 8 different models considered within this research process from the time someone starts searching from the time that they end. So incredibly large in scope. And again, depending upon the maker model, depending upon the competition for that segment, we can see more complicated journeys. This is an example of the F-150 model. We see 19 different makes considered and 13 different Ford models overall. So examples of this show that, again, when someone is researching for a new vehicle, when someone is considering a new purchase, the amount of time that's invested, the amount of consideration that individuals sort through and look through in terms of the breadth of product make the models that they consider is quite extensive. So, again, having that right strategy becomes incredibly important.
And, Amanda, I think it's worth calling out when we look at this because I think the first time that you showed this to me, I was like, wow, I know even as myself when I look at vehicles, I'm like, okay, I know I need to purchase some sort of vehicle. But, like, thinking about it, like, okay, 13 different types of Ford were taken into consideration – So that's if you're a Ford dealership. These are different vehicles across your lot. But I love the idea, and when you look in that first column, the 0 to 3 week drop, before they even thought about the F-150, or as they're thinking about the F-150, they would look at a Hummer. They would look at the BMW 3 Series. So we're looking at, even within a pickup truck, they're looking at somewhat, I would consider the BMW a somewhat luxury car. And so you think about what goes into that purchase journey, it might be outside of the vehicles that you had been thinking about that individuals consider, which might change some of your strategies as we go into the research that Amanda's going to be presenting.
Very true. It also speaks to the fact that paid search can have a big impact on influencing that consumer journey. And in the research that we're about to review together, you're going to see how that you can influence that consumer journey and grow your consumer base even without winning the click. That by serving an ad alone, that by driving impressions, you can equally have and start to enter yourself into that consumer thought process. So a quick review, again, as to what we are going to review and learn. We are going to look at performance and efficiency and by how you can drive that by appearing in the right position on the SERP based on query intent, based on how someone's searching. We're going to talk about aligning your strategy, again, with consumer behavior to drive your own brand awareness and reduce competitive consideration. As we just saw through those journeys, competitive consideration can be pretty strong when you have an individual searching for many makes and models when thinking about the vehicle that they want to purchase. We're going, again, to touch upon a strategy called Own the SERP. It's a strategy to prevent competitors from stealing clicks and performance, which, again, we're going to look at how competitive the marketplace really is. And we're going to talk about having a proper strategy so that you're mining for new opportunities and growing your customer base. So before we run into all of that, we're just going to recap some methodology and some terms so that when we go through it and you hear it, we're all on the same page. So when we're talking about mainline ads, we're talking about the top ads that appear at the top of the page. Sidebar are the ads that appear on the side there. So in this webinar, you're going to hear me reference mainline 1, mainline 2, and mainline 3. Mainline 1 being the first position an ad is served on the SERP, mainline 2 being the second position an ad is served in, and mainline 3 being the third position. So you'll hear that quite a bit when we work through the research. In terms of some strategy terms that you hear brand query a lot. Any search that someone makes that contains a make or model reference, you'll see some examples there. You'll hear segment query quite a bit, any search that contains absolutely no make or model reference, and you'll see some examples there as well. You're also going to hear me talk about a conquest strategy. Conquest meaning when you bid and serve an ad on a search that includes a competitor's make or model, and you're going to hear me talk about retention strategy, bidding and serving an ad on a search that includes your own make or model. So you are you're retaining customers that already know about you instead of conquesting customers that are searching a competitor that may not know about you.
And I think just one other thing just to call it, just in case you didn't know, when we say SERP, it's Search Engines Results Page. I always like to call that one out too because I get so used to using acronyms, but I think everybody knows all my acronyms.
It's very true.
So before we get into the research, one of the things we wanted to ask is just understand, because a lot of the research we have to do is dealing with conquesting, this idea of advertising on a competitor's make and model. So as we get in, I just want to see how many of you out there today are doing that. So Eliana, take it away.
Thank you very much. You ladies are doing great. Okay, second poll question, actually final poll question, is on the screen now. We really want you to answer this for us. We want to know, do you currently have a conquest strategy in place today at your dealership, active, online, right now? Please select one of the following answers. Yes, I am bidding on competitive OEM brands. Yes, I'm bidding on other dealership names and competitive OEM brands. No, I've thought about it, but you know what? I haven't quite started my conquest strategy yet. No, you know what? That whole conquest strategy thing, I don't like that idea. I don't think it's a good one. Or, you know what? I'm not sure if we're doing a conquest strategy right now at our dealership. Once we have a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Both Christy and Amanda want to know if you currently have a conquest strategy in place today. So get those votes in. We'll leave it up for another few seconds. Votes are still coming in. Wow, look at that.
when we say brands, just to get everybody who's taking the poll note, it also means make and models, not just the OEM name, just because we ran out of room in terms of how we had to spell it out within the poll question. So not just the brand name, make, model. If you're Ford, are you bidding on Chevrolet? Are you bidding on Kia Sorento or Sorento, et cetera?
Got it, got it. Well, you know what? I think we're ready to see the answers. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your votes. We really appreciate it when you get involved in our poll questions. Now, let's see how you did. All right. So the question is, do you currently have a conquest strategy in place today? Only 12% of today's audience answered the first one, yes, I'm bidding on competitive OEM brands. The majority, however, 44% of today's audience said, yes, I'm bidding on other dealership names and competitive OEM brands. 15% of today's audience said no, but you know what? I'm thinking about it. I'm going to get started any day now. 21% of today's audience say they just don't agree with the whole conquest strategy thing. They think it's mean. And then the remaining 9% say that they're not really sure if they're doing a conquest strategy right now. They don't really take care of that. All right, Christy, Amanda, where do we go from here?
Yeah, so we're going to dive into some research to show the value of conquesting, but also the value of just serving an ad in general. So some study takeaways that hopefully you leave here learning about is we're going to look at mainline position on segment. If you remember, segment meaning non-brand searches and how that can really drive brand recollection and purchase intent for the consumer. We're going to look at how mainline three, by appearing and serving an ad in position three on a conquest query, so on your competitor term when it's searched, drives unaided brand awareness. And we're going to look at stacking tiers. So what a tier one, tier two, tier three at the dealership level strategy looks like in terms of removing competitors from the consideration process. And we think about how long and how much is considered within a journey for a consumer when they're searching for an automotive, removing competitors from the consideration process becomes incredibly important to driving your own brand awareness. We're also going to take a look at tier two and tier three and how to partner with OEMs, that having a strategic aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy are incredibly important, and how that can also reduce the number of competitors that, again, can enter into the consideration process. We have been sharing the study across all boards, including tier one and OEM brands, so that we can push that tier one, tier two, and tier three strategic strategy that we believe is so important to driving and growing performance. So we're going to get right into study number one, which we're calling our brand list study. So we know the automotive space is incredibly competitive. As I referenced earlier and Christy referenced earlier, 69% of shoppers thought of knowing little about the vehicle that they want to purchase. 76% of the consumers use the internet to shop for a vehicle. So with this study, we really wanted to analyze the measurable impact search has on the consumer decision journey. We know paid search, again, plays an important part of that marketing mix, but we wanted to look at how paid search really impacts brand perception. Essentially, what we're doing is we're looking at the power of the impression, driving three main things. We're driving brand awareness, purchase intent, and market leadership for an advertiser. So to do this, we've partnered with Ipsos, a research company, to conduct this study, to specifically understand if by a consumer just viewing an ad that appears on the search page, would that increase purchase intent for the brand serving that ad? And would a degree of increase be more or less if you consider position? If you consider first position, or would it be more if more ads were served? So to complete this study, again, with Ipsos, we surveyed U.S. searchers who intended to purchase a new vehicle within the next 3 months. Age, gender, previous make and model ownership were all weighted equally when we conducted the study. And this study was specifically conducted for PC and laptop only, so we're excluding mobile. And with that, with the clients that we pulled in, they were asked to do a search related to their upcoming purchase of a new vehicle and input that search into a live simulated bank search page where links would appear. So we're essentially looking at a test control methodology where there's an analysis done on a test group, individuals who search and see a brand advertisement based on their search, and comparing that to a control group, those who search and do not see a brand advertisement, and the impact and measurable effect that has on those three categories that we mentioned: awareness, purchase intent, and market leadership. So what did we find? We found that when an individual searches a non-brand search, no mention or make or model, that without the individual even clicking on an ad, so we're considering the impression alone, there was a measurable impact on this consumer for all three categories, top of mind awareness, brand perception, and purchase intent, or the advertiser that served a branded ad in position one. And you see that the green bar is our test group, individuals who saw the branded ad when they searched a non-brand term, compared to those individuals that did not see the brand ad. So that even without a click, that a brand, by serving an ad alone, that you can build awareness by serving an ad in mainline one. And again, you can see that significant jump. So if an individual searches dealerships near me, and you serve a branded ad in position one, that individual will have an increase in top of mind awareness, perceived market leadership, and purchase intent based on the fact that you serve an ad alone. So we get to think about search more than just winning clicks. Search becomes a larger platform than just analyzing performance at the click or conversion level, but it really becomes a way for you to influence a consumer's thought process, influence that journey. And we saw a few slides ago how long that journey is and how long that consideration process is and how many makes and models go into that consideration process. That by influencing, by simply serving an ad to a consumer when they search a non-brand term, that, again, you can have an influence on brand perception, top of mind awareness, and perceived market leadership. So this speaks to that to get more value from paid search, that we should be investing in category keywords, non-brand keywords that are incredibly important to you to grow awareness for your brand. And when you do grow awareness for your brand and you invest in those non-brand terms that are important to your business, ensure that you have your brand name within your ad. Because by having your brand name within your ad, you can drive those categories, that type of mind awareness, market leadership, purchase intent for the consumer, especially as they're continuing this long consumer purchase journey. And also create targeting landing pages that when someone clicks on your ad based on their search, they go to a landing page that aligns to their search to really drive home your strategy. So when we look at the measurable lift that happens, to conclude, when someone searched a non-brand term and a branded ad was shown in mainline one, those individuals that saw that ad had 67% more people recall the brand than those who didn't see the ad. A significant brand recollection lift for consumers who saw that ad. When you look again at marketing, 18% of people were more likely to see the brand as a market leader than those who didn't see the ad. So you can push yourself as a market leader by aiming just to serve an ad on the serve and include your brand name within that ad. It doesn't always come down to the click. You have an influence just by serving an ad and getting that impression.
And Amanda, I'm sorry to interrupt real fast. We did have a question that came in from Shelby, and I think she's not the only one who was wondering this. She wanted to know, what's your definition of category keywords? She heard you use that term and wasn't really familiar with it.
Yeah, so a category, if you invest in any non-brand term, like SUVs, things of that nature, based on the vehicle that you have on your lot.
Thank you so much. Shelby, if you have a follow-up, let me know.
Perfect. If we also continue, we see that similarly when we look at purchase intent, that when someone searches a non-brand query, maybe they're looking for top SUVs or dealership in my area, that you can also have a significant impact on purchase intent and driving them to purchase, 27% higher purchase intent than those who didn't see a brand ad by serving a branded ad in mainline one, ensuring that your brand name is within your ad. So again, we talk about how lengthy the consumer journey is, and we talk about how complicated it can get. Having an influence on these three things by simply serving an ad really helps us start to think about search beyond just clicks. That performance and the effect that you can have really goes beyond just winning the click. You can have that impact by serving an impression. We found something similar when we're looking at conquesting. So we had our poll question around conquesting and if people find it valuable or not. But when conquesting is a great way for you to drive brand awareness. It's a great way for you to capture a consumer who may not have been previously even considering you and to become a part of that complicated consideration journey. And what we found was that when a brand served an ad on their competitor search in position three, even below their competitor ads, that 25% more people recall that brand after seeing the brand in mainline three. So again, by conquesting and appearing on the SERP, you can drive brand awareness for your own brand, even though the consumer wasn't previously considering you, due to the fact that 25% more people were called your brand in mainline 3. So conquesting, again, becomes more just about stealing clicks. It becomes about pushing yourself into the consideration process for a consumer that maybe may not even consider you as an option. And to build on that, we talk about strategies. So we talk about who's conquesting and who's not conquesting. And we pulled information on our end and why it's so important to have a balanced strategy. And we're talking about how we look at the marketplace. When we talk about the effect that we can have in driving market leadership and brand awareness, it's important that that balanced strategy helps us drive that. So we saw that for tier one, we looked at top 7 tier one brands, that they have a balanced strategy. 64% go into retention. If you remember what retention is you're retaining your own brand, so when someone searches your brand terms. 15% of clicks are driven by segment, so totally non-brand terms. And then conquest represents almost 16% of clicks. If we look at the tier 3 vertical all up, this is at the dealership level, 25% of clicks are driven by conquest. 36% are driven by retention. So dealerships are beginning to have that balanced strategy. Dealerships are conquesting, and they have a healthy balance of conquesting, retention, and non-brand segments. So it's important that we begin to work our way to developing that. We pulled a segment of small dealerships for an OEM. We found that most of them were driving on retention. So it's really important that, again, we talk about having a balanced strategy, that at the tier 3 level, dealership level, all up across our marketplace, that balanced strategy is beginning to happen. And in order to capture, again, the increased demand that we're expected to see within the marketplace due to the average age of vehicles increasing over time up to 2016. We look at the number of makes and models that are going to be put into the marketplace and the amount of competition that is going to drive. If you are in a highly populated area where there are a lot of dealerships around you in a certain DMA, having that balanced strategy to really help drive performance becomes incredibly important. So we to build on why a balanced strategy is so important. We did a positional query analysis. So we looked at consumer journeys, and we looked at everything they searched within their journey from start to finish in terms of their purchase journey. And what we found was that for users exposed to an ad on a non-brand conquest query, so when they searched either a non-brand term or they searched either a conquesting query, they had a higher conversion rate. So 15% higher conversion rate versus the control when exposed to a branded ad. So by exposing them to a branded ad when they searched a non-brand or conquest term, by serving a branded ad when they did search, they had a 15% higher conversion rate. So we're speaking to the fact that individuals who are searching that way, individuals who are highly invested into researching their automotive decision process, by serving to them when they are searching non-brand and conquest terms, not just your own brand, you can drive conversion significantly as they go through their very detailed, complicated consumer journey process. So to build on that, I know that's a lot of information to take in, we wanted to kind of explore what we have found via the Ipsos study and pull in data that we have found via our own analysis. So we use our own Bing data to build on whether we saw something similar to what we're seeing within the previous research study. So we specifically wanted to see the performance and the relationship between Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. So the goal of this study is to look at that relationship that's occurring. And we did so by looking at 6 top OEM brands to specifically understand click impact that occurs by position. Again, when you're considering ads that are serving on the SERP at the OEM top tier one level down to the dealership level and what that exactly looks like. So again, we did the research based on 6 OEM brands. This included looking at 78,159 users, consumers, which equated to 413,939 searches specific to July and August of 2017. And again, we're really casting a pretty wide net when we did this research. We're looking across Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, 4 OEMs for those specific DMAs to really understand what that relationship looks like on the SERP and to understand how that affects competition and how that affects performance when we're looking at position. So if we continue to look at that, we're going to begin by looking at Tier 1 brand queries. That when someone searched a brand query, which we know from our previous slide is when any mention of make or model at the model level, when I say a Tier 1 brand query, I mean it has to be any mention of make or model, but it has no mention of make, it has no mention of geo, has no mention of region, has no mention of service, has no mention of parts, has no mention of dealership. This is strictly at the OEM high level that we're looking at right now for brand searches. What we found was that when we looked at all the search activity at the Tier 1 brand level that occurred for those 78,000 users, we found that 80% of clicks were captured in position 1. And then we found that you see that with the dark gray bar, that percentage of clicks slowly decreases as you head down to position 4. The dark green dots that you see there represent Tier 1 accounts, national accounts. And those light green dots that you see there represent Tier 2 and Tier 3 regional and local accounts. So when we looked at position 1, 80% of those clicks when someone searched a Tier 1 brand query was captured in position 1. 79% of the accounts that captured that was a Tier 1 account. But as we roll down to position 4, you see that the accounts that are capturing those clicks are actually Tier 2 and Tier 3 regional and local accounts. So in those lower positions, Tier 2 and Tier 3 are helping to fill the SERP. And this speaks to a few things. Like I said previously, we really have been pushing, even at the Tier 1 level, a strategic Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 aligned strategy. But you're working with the Tier 1 OEM brands to align your strategy and support each other. So we know that, again, Tier 1 captures 80%, OEM brands capture 80% of the clicks. But, again, you can have an effect by filling in lower positions and capturing that click share. We are also going to discuss that having that aligned strategy and by you filling in the lower positions, you prevent competitors from entering into the thought process. But that by having an aligned Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 strategy, not only can you drive clicks and conversions, but you can protect your brand from competitors who are looking to fill in those lower positions. We also found that when Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 were properly aligned, that when Tier 2 and Tier 3 even appear above Tier 1, specifically for Tier 1 brand searches, but it also kept CPCs and costs down. So not only does an aligned strategy drive performance, not only does it keep competitors out of the consideration process, but it also, from a cost level, benefits everybody. So to build on that, we looked at brand searches all up. And I've mentioned a few times throughout my speaking, but the marketplace is incredibly competitive. And what we're finding is that when you do not fill the main line, when a brand does not stack the main line with their own Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, that competitors will capitalize on that. So specifically looking at brand searches, when a brand did not serve an ad for their own brand search on Tier 1, Tier 2, and across Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, and they only served an ad in position 1, an average of 5 other OEMs across their tiers were able to win a click. We scroll down, we look down to position 1, 2, and 3, brands that served 3 ads by stacking Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 and aligning their strategies only allowed an average of 2.5 other OEMs across their Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 to win a click. So again, by having that aligned strategy, by aligning Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 for a specific brand, you not only remove competitors from the consideration process entirely, but you can drive clicks. So again, we have been speaking about this at a high level as well as a local level to each brand. But again, having that aligned strategy can help drive performance. It also speaks to the fact that this is on brand queries, so brand searches. It speaks to how much conquesting that goes on in a marketplace like the automotive industry, that if a brand does not have an aligned strategy of Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, and they're not filling the SERP across their tiers, when their brand is searched, competitors will leave it. So we looked at the same consideration. We looked at the same setting. We looked at non-brand searches. We did a study on brand searches. We also looked at non-brand, and this is referring to it as segment. And we found something very similar, that only serving an ad in position one resulted in a 26% decrease in the brand winning that click. That, again, if there's this aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy on a non-brand search, that you can win the click 50% of the time, that when a brand had that aligned strategy across their tiers, that they won the click 50% of the time. And you can see that light green line and the average number of competitors that were able to even appear on the search dramatically reduces when we're talking about non-brand. As opposed to just focusing on position one, which only 25% of clicks were won, when we just focus on serving an ad in position one and we don't have it aligned tier one, tier two, tier three. So again, in terms of the takeaways that we can learn from all of this, especially when we're looking at the dealership level, when we look at non-brand keywords, in terms of when a searcher searches, no query containing brand or model, no make or model reference, that by serving an ad in position one with your brand within the ad, you can increase for the consumer top-of-mind awareness, purchase intent, and perceived market leadership. So when you have an individual searching for dealerships near me, or you have an individual who's SUV dealerships or SUV or any of those types of non-brand terms, that by simply aiming to serve an ad in position one with your brand, you can drive that consumer perception of top-of-mind awareness, purchase, and perceived market leadership. So the takeaway there is really make sure that you're investing in non-brand terms that are incredibly important to you, that are incredibly important to you based on the make and the models, on the type of vehicle that you have on your lot. We also talked about conquesting, and I know we had our poll and there were some people hesitant about conquesting. We know it's occurring in the marketplace, very heavy in the automotive industry. But you can grow your consumer base and by targeting consumers that are maybe within your DNA or by targeting consumers local to you that are searching for other brands, other makes and models, by simply serving an ad in position three, by serving that impression and having your brand name within that ad, you can drive brand recollection. 25% more people call your brand. So, again, this goes beyond speaking to a strategy of how you grow consumers being searched, consumers that previously didn't know about you because you haven't considered you. So, again, we also talked about a mainline 1-3 position and how you disrupt the consumer journey and reduce competitive consideration. That when there is an aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy, that the average number of competitive OEMs across their tiers that are able to win the click significantly reduces by 42%. And we have been speaking to this aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy at the OEM level. So it's a strategy that we feel is incredibly important, and it's a strategy that we're pushing from top down for OEMs to the dealership level, that by aligning correctly across the SERP, competitors are significantly reduced from consideration. We saw the same when we looked at non-brand keywords, that when that stacking occurred, that when a brand filled the SERP and had that aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy, that when someone searched a non-brand term with no mention or make and model, the odds of that brand winning the click increased by 48%. Significant increase. And then we also spoke to the fact that swim lanes are important. So by aligning tier one and tier two and tier three correctly, so by bidding on words that are specific to you at the dealership level, not trying to outbid OEMs at the high level, it reduces the for everyone. That there needs to be a support strategy in place and alignment for tier one, tier three. Again, that's the basis of what we've learned today. We've learned how to drive performance and efficiency by appearing in the right position. We talked about how to align your strategy based on consumer behavior. Are they searching a competitive term? Are they searching non-brand term? Are they searching a brand theory? We talked about this concept of owning the SERP that we are pushing in terms of having that aligned tier one, tier two, and tier three strategy, that aligned digital strategy that not only improves performance at the click level, but pushes brand consideration and your own brand into the consideration process while eliminating competitors from the consumer process. And we also talked about mining for new opportunities and how you could do that by having an aligned strategy, by having a balanced strategy, by not only bidding on keywords that include mention of your own maker model or your own dealership, you're expanding moving to other makes and models. You're considering a conquest center. You're investing in those non-brand keywords that are important to you based on the vehicle's make and model that you have on your lot. So by having that aligned balance strategy, you can really begin to find new opportunities, grow your customer base, and grow your performance.
This is great, Amanda. Thank you so much. And I think what I thought was interesting and why I thought this is really important for talking with Eliana and Dealerone and all the dealerships out there is when I've been at Digital Dealer or I've been at NADA, I've gotten a lot of questions of, you know, how do we as a tier three, how do we at the dealer level compete directly with tier one, the national or the regional? Why should we compete? When should we compete? How do we compete? And I think this is actually pretty important to come up with. It is sometimes competing makes sense. Sometimes having that aligned strategy also makes sense, where there are certain terms and phrases you might not want to go head-to-head to compete on because it's going to hurt the entire brand as a whole instead of having that aligned strategy, which is why we hear, because Amanda and I, the week before, had actually met with a couple of tier one OEMs talking about, like, how do you align your strategy? How do you think about this? They're asking similar questions. How do we own the SERP? How do we work with the regional and the dealership level to put out a strategy so that we don't see as many of the conquesting ads and so that we can be very strong? So when somebody is looking for a specific type of vehicle and or a make and model, both the brand and those segment queries, how do we make sure that we're still in that consideration set? And I think the researcher shows it's important to have that. Now, one of the questions I have, Amanda, and this is more of a conversation, it's not based on research, is I purposely put the question in there about conquesting because we haven't done the research yet of what is it when you're conquesting on other dealerships' names. So I'm out of Seattle, Washington, so an example for me would be it'd be BMW of Seattle versus BMW of Bellevue. How do we think, or how should dealerships think about conquesting against other geographical locations? I know you had something on the slide about DMA. I don't know if everybody knows what a DMA is. So I'm going to ask you on that side, like how would we think about the location base and adding location then maybe on the dealership side?
Yeah, so that becomes, to be clear, this study, when we talked about conquesting, to Christy's point, that drove me on an entirely another maker model. So not conquesting other local BMW leadership, BMW dealerships, I'm conquesting and maybe four dealerships or something that more closely aligns to a luxury brand. But when it comes to conquesting your own brand in other dealerships, it becomes incredibly complicated. It really sometimes comes down to at the OEM level and what their strategy is and what they're pushing from a strategy perspective. However, if there is no strategy in place, certainly the way we want to think about targeting, especially when we look at the dealership level, is you want to target your area. So for a consumer, you want to, and you can set this up within your campaigns, but you want to be bid boosting, and you want to be increasing investments behind an individual searching who you know is located within a certain amount of miles from you, maybe it's within your geographical region. That will probably result in overlap with other dealerships in terms of directly conquesting other dealerships. That is something that I've seen, again, OEMs from the top down align on whether that's good or not. We haven't done any studies on it in terms of the results that drive. However, people are doing it. And if you feel confident in doing it, if you feel like you want to have this comprehensive strategy that will drive performance for you, there is certainly no one stopping you from setting up your campaign that way if you're looking to drive performance to your own dealership based on better customer service or whatnot. However, this study doesn't specifically speak to that. But overall, when I think about how dealerships should be targeting, you certainly want to be conscious of people searching you can actually place within your specific geo region. That will automatically, unfortunately, overlap with other dealerships doing the same thing. So it does become incredibly competitive.
Well, and I think it's also important to think about then from that level, and this research study didn't go into it, but it gets to the questions I know people have asked me is, great, so I'm BMW of Seattle, that's BMW of Bellevue. How do we differentiate? Because if we take just the generic messaging that's given from the tier one or the tier two level, essentially all of our ads look exactly the same, and the only thing different is the city location. So something I would encourage you at the dealership level to think about is how do you stay within your OEM guidelines in terms of what they want you to say or how they want you to say things, but then using the ad extensions to essentially highlight what makes your dealership different, why they should come into your dealership. So I've seen really good examples across the U.S. of the dealership level using things like call-out extensions to explain, here's what we have. Or I've seen dealerships that offer, you know, if you purchase from us, you get lifetime free car washes. If you offer that, call that out, because I know, at least me personally, I'd be willing to potentially drive an extra 2 or 3 miles to get those free car washes, so that way I don't have to manually hand wash my car all the time. But do you have something that differentiates you from someone else? Maybe it's that you're running a promotion on a different schedule than some of the other dealerships in the area. Again, I'm a consumer, I'm not a dealership, but I've seen different dealerships advertise like, hey, we have 0% APR on this type of vehicle at this point in time. As a consumer, I'm like, oh, that catches my eye, because I might be willing to swap either the dealership or even the make or model if I can get a better rate. If it still meets the needs for that vehicle that I'm considering, it catches my eye. And so think about how you can differentiate your company just based even on ad copy to help capture that consumer attention. And I want to make sure we have time for questions. So sorry, I thought, I'm like, that would be sort of a fun question to ask, because I know it's things I've heard in the past.
No, and I'll just add into, I totally agree. We're seeing more and more that people are searching for those types of things. So any promotions, anything that you can add that differentiates you becomes incredibly important. So thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah. So go ahead and click forward. I think we have.
Let's keep going, ladies. Bring it to the finish line.
Okay. We have a handful of resources. The ones to call out here, there's two different automotive trends. One of them is just research we have. The automotive industry trends one is just any research we have on automotive. It goes up on the Bing site. Click that link. The other thing to notice is we have audience industry trends, which pulls in some of the details like that 86 million automotive searchers coming in. So we update it every quarter for the previous quarter back based on ComScore. So if you're looking for what's happening within the audience and what Bing can offer you, click through on that link. Q&A.
Big yellow question mark. That means it's time for me to come in. All right, ladies, you are awesome. Amanda, let me tell you something. Christy, you were right about her. She is sharp as anything. And the information you brought us today and those insights, thank you so much. We don't normally get to see that broken down as well as you presented it today. I really appreciate it. If you come across some more information for us in the automotive industry that we need to see, I hope you'll return and give it to us, because that was really amazing. So thank you so much. Now, audience, we got a lot of questions in the queue. But the question is, do we have your question in the queue? If we don't, get that question in so we can ask Christy Olson and Amanda Paciola some of your questions regarding Bing, Microsoft, and how you can make your dollars on Bing go farther. Before we get to those questions, though, I want to bring your attention over to the handout section of the GoToWebinar interface. In there, if you want to, it's available for you until the end of this broadcast. Today's slide deck is in there. So look on your GoToWebinar interface. It's kind of low on the interface. Look for the word that says handouts. Click on the little triangle next to it. It'll open up, and in there you'll be able to download today's slide deck for you to have and keep all of those great notes right there for you at your convenience. All right? Again, you have until the end of this broadcast to get that downloaded. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to ask these very smart ladies if they wouldn't mind sharing their webcams. And, yes, it's that time. I wish I had some game show music one of these days. I mean, look, I've only been on the show for like 4 or 5, almost 6 years. Maybe they'll get me some game show music. I would love that. But for right now, if you weren't here at the very beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends over at Bing and Microsoft, they have such a good prize today. I hope you people were paying attention. One lucky webinar attendee is going to win. Oh, it's so cool. I got to get this right because I don't want to mess this up. It is a Microsoft Harman Kardon Invoke. And by the way, if you've ever heard one of these things, best audio quality ever. So you set it to your favorite radio station, and it's time for a party. Right, people?
Yep.
Right. Okay. So look, this thing is valued at $200, I'm going to be honest with you, really, can you put a price on the best speaker in the world? No, you can't, all right? So, because, you know, my favorite song, it comes on, I'm going to want the best speaker on there so I can pump up the jams. So if you were paying attention, then hopefully you'll be able to answer our giveaway question correctly and be the first one to do so. And then that Harman Invoke, that sweet, sweet prize, it's all yours. There's only one of them out there, so good luck. And by the way, you get it right, I need you to quickly write in your name, your dealership, and of course, don't forget your mailing address as well. Just want to put that out there. If you are a vendor, we love having you on the Dealer On webinar series. Thank you so much for coming and seeing what all the fuss is about and learning some great automotive awesomeness from us. But we're going to ask you to kindly sit this part out, as this prize is intended for dealership personnel only. All right, everyone, here we go. Good luck. According to Microsoft Research, what did Christy and Amanda say was the percentage of all automotive paid clicks from Bing? We're looking for a percentage. Oh, my goodness, everyone's writing in. Okay, hold on. I got to scroll down. I'm sorry. I love the same. Let me just tell you, the first three people that wrote in are three people who always win my prizes. But the first one who got it correct is Devon Rajkumar, not a stranger to winning a prize on my webinar, by the way. Devon Rajkumar was the first person to write in the correct answer of 40%. Congratulations, Devon. But yes, Sharpie, Tamara, you are all very, you were right up there, man. You were so close. But Devon Rajkumar has taken home the sweet, sweet prize today. Devon, don't forget to write on in. I need a mailing address, and you're going to have to remind me. I'm so sorry. What dealership are you with? But let me tell you, I know. My name's not Devon Rajkumar either. And neither is yours. You didn't win today's prize. I get it. Time for a martini. But you know what? We give away cool prizes every week here on the Dealer On webinar series. So come on back to another one, and that could be the day that you win a great prize. Today, big props up to Devon Rajkumar. He's the digital marketing manager at Van Dusen Chevrolet Buick GMC in Ontario, Canada. Congratulations, Devon. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And, of course, we got to give big, huge thanks to our friends over at Bing and Microsoft. So thank you so much for your incredible generosity. All right, everyone, it's time to get to some questions. Let's go to the next slide.
I think we put them in the reverse order. Sorry, that was me.
All right, go to the one that shows your cute pictures. There we go. There we go. All right. And just so I know, so we can tell the audience again, they can follow both of you on LinkedIn. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And any place else?
Twitter for me.
Twitter. All right. So you definitely want to do that, people. All right. So this first question came in nice and early. It's from Mike. Mike, and believe me, like as soon as you guys started talking, it came in. So he's been thinking about this question, all right? So Mike wrote in, what are the requirements to become a Bing Ads Elite Partner? Our Bing rep was unable to get the requirements for us. Is it still a program?
So it is. So I'm on the marketing team, and so we still are running the Elite Partner program. I will have to actually follow up with you. So, Eliana, we get contact information, correct? Because I don't know the requirements off the top of my head. We are still running the partner program. I know we have our partner summit happening in April, or no, I guess it's actually early May timeframe, but essentially participation, and depending on how you get the different statuses, is based on how much you engage with Bing. So it's based on spending a certain dollar amount from an ad perspective and advertising on Bing. So I don't know the dollar amount off the top of my head. There is also a program that we're running for people that are showing an increase overall in that they're not just spending at their level, but they're increasing how they engage with us. I just want to throw that out there that if you haven't quite hit that tip and you are actually engaging on a regular basis with your reps, with everybody else, we are growing that partner program.
That sounds awesome. All right, yes, I will get you Mike's contact information after the show if you have any other information to send over to him. Okay, Christy?
Perfect.
And Mike, thank you for the great question. All right, next question comes in from Joey. Again, no stranger to this program, and he always asks the tough questions. Expect more of the same today. Joey wants to know, Last time I advertised on Bing, I used UTM parameters to track campaign performance in Google Analytics. What are your recommendations for analyzing traffic in Google Analytics?
Google Analytics. Okay, so number one,
Do you have an alternative? Is there Bing Analytics?
So what's funny is we actually do have something called Universal Event Tracking. It's UET. That you can find on the, you actually do want to put a UET code on your site because UET enables all the remarketing on the back end. And also if you want to use things like Bid Optimizer, a bunch of our automated tools, they're based on having the UET code. It's like our version of campaign conversion tracking, et cetera, as well as remarketing lists. It is not a full analytics platform though. So if you're trying to go through and look at what's happening from a traffic perspective, I would say on Bing, it's very similar to what you would do on Google. You want to look at saying, how is traffic coming into the site? How are they engaging with the content on your website? Are they bouncing quickly? Are they not bouncing? Are they engaging multiple different product pages? And then you also want to look at a lot of people I know we talk to do lead generation. So if you're on the lead generation side, how far are they going down that lead generation form? Are they completing, is it a three-step form or is it a single-page form? Are they actually completing it? Are they not? What I would say is interesting approach, especially from a remarketing perspective, is people that go to that lead gen form but don't complete lead gen is something you could set up a remarketing list for to essentially re-engage and reconnect with those consumers. I was at the Automotive Leadership Roundtable, and Amanda and I said we met with dealers 2 weeks ago. We know that that form is not universally loved by consumers and that they don't always fill it out, but figuring out ways that you can re-engage with them. Then at the dealership level, making sure you have the right information. It is information such as your dealership name, location, phone number. How do they contact you? How do they get a hold of you? Making that even more prevalent from essentially a remarketing ad. So if you don't have all that information up front, making sure it's there as well. Amanda, anything you want to add?
No, you said it all. Having a defined remarketing strategy, I'll speak to it from a high level, becomes incredibly important to targeting people that you know are engaging. And you may be more comfortable investing or increasing investment on someone that you know search for previous things because you know they're an engaged customer, you know that they're a valuable customer, you know they're committed. So, again, having that remarketing strategy and setting that up, although it can be a little bit of a pain in the upfront, becomes so important to you having a strategy that is actually strategic and a strategy that will kind of drive results for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Joey, you know I love your questions. Send those in, and we'll get to some more of them too. We still have a full boat of questions, so let's keep moving, ladies. All right, next one. Now, this one came in when we asked the poll question about, how they were doing their campaigns. So Heidi wrote in. She says, you know what? We purchase competitive brands for pre-owned but not new, and their cost per click would be too high, so they feel that it is preventing them from really doing that. Is there a workaround? Is there a solution? Or is it just, hey, if you want the results, you're going to have to suck it up and pay the bill? B? Okay. So, okay, well, to follow up on that, Sarah followed up with, you know what? Some OEMs forbid us to bid on another competitor's dealership name. So if you belong to that group of people, do you have a workaround for that?
Yeah. So that is one of those situations where sometimes, like we were discussing, OEMs have a defined strategy. So there is no workaround if you cannot bid on another dealership. Conquesting isn't allowed. There are other areas in which to grow. So you focus on non-brand. You use maybe remarketing to help you target individuals if conquesting is not allowed. You also know that if you are a dealership that is surrounded by a lot of other competitive dealerships within your geo region, you just have to invest more, and you can't conquest them. You just have to invest more heavily into a non-brand areas and make sure that you're performing incredibly well on your own brand to prevent from anyone conquesting you. So what it really comes down to is there is no direct way to get around if conquesting isn't allowed. Conquesting right. is a way to boost performance for yourself. Like if you are surrounded by a lot of competitive dealerships, ensuring that for those non-brand terms, local dealerships, for example, dealerships that sell SUVs, that you're heavily performing on in that area and also performing on your own brand terms, your own make and model, your own dealership name, so that anyone who's conquesting you maybe is allowed to conquest you, that you prevent that.
The other thing I call out that's interesting on here is we talked about geo-targeting. So it's also looking at where you ring-fence your geography. So looking, maybe it's you for specific types of terms related to your make and models, maybe you expand that geography a little bit wider or you narrow it down in order to sort of adjust then how much you pay for traffic within a specific location. So an example in the Seattle, granted, I don't know every other state really well. I know Seattle. There are dealerships in a city called Puyallup, which is like 40 miles south of where I live, that they're targeting me up here. And they are cross-border targeting, and they're overlapping probably another 8 or 9 dealerships because they know that they the taxes in their county are lower than the taxes in my county. So they are specifically targeting people in the county I live in to come 40 miles south, because the amount of money you save on a $20,000 or $40,000 purchase will make up for the drive heading down there. And so they are doing that cross, the competitive, there are some that do use the dealership name, some that don't, but they are doing that cross geo targeting strategy. But they again, they have that value that they can add in. And so for them, it's one of the ways they've looked at it, but they're very, very conscious in their ad copy of how they message that.
That is really smart. I have to say, okay, where I live in New Jersey, I know it's no secret I'm a Jersey girl. where I live in New Jersey, our taxes are you know, sales tax is 7%. But south of us in New Jersey, maybe 15 minutes away, is a town called Millville. And for some reason, their tax is only 3%. And so when we buy something big, we always go to Millville, or we'll go into Delaware because Delaware has no sales tax. You know what I mean? But I don't get people advertising to me from those areas, but that would have been a smart move. Smart move.
Our tax is 10%. We're at 10%. So you can imagine, we go from 10% down to 5%.
Oh, that yeah.
It's seats or a self-parking car.
What? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, Sarah, great question. Okay, I had a few questions, and we're going to hit all of them right now. A few questions that came in about some terminology and some abbreviations that people weren't sure of, all right? So let's just clear those up for everyone so that we can get on the same page again, all right? So first one came in from Amanda, not you, Amanda, another Amanda. Amanda says, when you say brand name, do you mean dealership name or car brand, i.e. Ford?
Great question. In not dealership name, we mean Ford, F-150, things of that nature, a brand or model name, not the dealership.
All right, Amanda, you got a follow-up question? We're here for you. Okay, Stephanie wants to know, when you say Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, what OEMs are considered Tier 1 and which are considered Tier 3?
So Tier 1 is any brand at the high level, any OEM. We're talking about at the brand level. When we look at tier two, we're talking about a regional level, Midwest dealerships, Southern dealerships, Northeastern dealerships. When we're talking about tier three, we specifically mean dealerships at the local level. So all dealerships, owners of dealerships would probably be in tier three. We talk about tier one, it's any OEM. We're looking at it at the high level brand. So Ford, Nissan, all those guys at the high level, and then all the dealerships that fall under those brands sit in the tier three level.
What about independents? They're all tier three?
In independents in terms of...
They don't sell new cars. They don't sell Fords, for instance, but they sell used cars.
Tier three.
All right. Follow-up question from Steph. What's a DMA?
I knew it.
I know. You said it, and I was like, okay, she's going to answer this question because she sent it in before you... you never said it.
DMA is a legacy term from TV advertising. So a lot of people have done TV or radio broadcasts. They talk about DMAs. It is I actually don't even know off the top of my head what it stands for, but it's a general marketing area. So like a DMA for Seattle is Seattle proper plus the neighboring cities would fall under that DMA.
So, right. So a DMA, there's around 200 still over 200 DMAs, and we break them all out across the country. Atlanta, Georgia is its own DMA, for example. Los Angeles is its own DMA. We talk about New York as a DMA. It includes New York and a little bit of New Jersey and a little bit of Pennsylvania. It's just, it's a way in terms of marketing that regions are categorized. So just a term for it. But you can obviously target in many ways. It just references certain local regions.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Steph. Great questions. All right, next one comes in from Mike. Mike says, are there trademark restrictions for certain branded terms on Bing?
I can take that one. So right now our trademark policy is, so if you are advertising, let's say your keyword is Ford Focus and you are Chevrolet, you cannot put the word Ford directly in that ad copy title. You have to specify your OEM or your maker model name. So if you are a specific dealership that sells a single type of vehicles, you have to hold true. Now, on used cars, you can put in that you have these used cars in inventory. So you can say, I am Ford of Bellevue selling a 1997 Nissan Sentra. So it's worth calling out. So the trademark is, if you don't offer it, you can't use it. If you do offer it and you do have it available, you are allowed to use it. You just have to prove that on the landing page, that product needs to be there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. Great question.
And really quick, DMA, I just binged it. It stands for Designated Marketing Area. So it is a harking back to the broadcast television terminology. But Designated Marketing Area is just that media outlet region.
Thank you so much. I also want to thank Chip, who wrote in the exact same thing. I was just about to say it, but Christy, you came out with it first. So thank you so much. All right, Chip, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I love when my audience members chip in to help in and help out another person. Okay, next question comes in from Mark. Mark says, I usually see the ad indication on the first several listings after completing a search. Does this have an effect on whether or not users click the link? If it is negative, how do you get around the ad indicator?
So you can't get around the ad indicator. That is actually a requirement by U.S. standards that if it is an ad, we have to have, you'll notice it's a slight different color on the background. Mm-hmm. So you might have like a little bit of an off yellowish tone or an off, to me it looks yellow. And then it says ad. That is actually required for us to have on anything that's an advertisement versus the organic search results. Do we see negative impact? No, we don't. There's been studies every year for the last, I don't know, 15 years showing what happens for mainline position 1, 2, 3 for paid search clicks as well as organic mainline 1, 2, 3 for clicks. The studies have been a little bit muddy because both Bing and Google now have additional, I'm trying to think what to call them, additional answers, additional content within the SERP results that impact who gets what percentage of traffic and how much clicks go across each of the different positions. But essentially, paid search gets, I think the last time I saw was like between 30 to 50% of the clicks, depending on the type of query and how the search result is showing.
Oh, nice.
So it's a paid search click, and the remainder goes between all the other content on a given page. And again, it just depends on the type of query, how the overall search results page is configured, if you have images, if you have products available for sale. The local module, which Greg Gifford, a dealer on, talks about pretty frequently, when those local modules pop up that show the maps and all the locations, that impacts the overall click-through rate on a given page.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Great question, Mark. Okay, we only have a handful of questions left, and then we'll start closing out the show, all right? Next question. Now, this is a good one. It's from our friend up north. It's Greg. Hey, Greg, I'm glad you're back on the show. He says, first, I want to thank you for a very dense and educational presentation. So I have an assumption that perhaps you could verify, because Bing comes standard on PCs, and I believe an older demographic purchases PCs as opposed to Macs, and these older folks, again I hypothesize, are not certain how to change their web browser. Do you see a better response and or lower CPC, higher CTR on specific makes, models, and demographic? Now, let me just go back and say, do you see a better response and or lower cost per click, higher click-through rate on specific makes, models, demographic?
Yeah, I could speak to a little bit of that. So, Christy, you spoke to this. Bing has a very unique audience, and it's unique when you're comparing it to Google, for example. Our audience skews a little older, it skews a little more affluent. So when we're thinking about makes or models, not necessarily we can't compare click-through rate. We haven't done any studies that compares click-through rates across models. But we do like to say and like to assume that because we have a more affluent audience, we're talking about luxury cars versus non-luxury, that because of our audience, there's more opportunity to capture someone who's in the luxury market. So because of the uniqueness of our audience, because we do tend to skew a little older and more affluent, we do naturally have interest in more models over other models.
And something to add on there, because I think it's worth calling out, so I actually get this question a lot when I'm at conferences and events, is the demographic. You also think about it, who uses PCs? If you think about the desktop computer, if you have Windows 10, like I have one, I've got like three at home. If you think Windows 10, the search bar is actually in the bottom of my screen. So Bing is actually included onto every Windows 10 PC through Cortana. It's the little search bar in that bottom left-hand corner. It says type here to search. That's a personal digital assistant. When people ask questions there, those also go in through Bing. So part of the reason we do have a slight different demographic is because Bing and Windows really is integrated into a lot of workplaces. So we do end up hitting a lot more of the professional crowd. We hit a lot more of the work age crowd. So we say older, we're not necessarily talking about my parents or your parents. We're talking about we are hitting a professional-based audience does tend to come in there. Now, it's not exclusive, but it is the predominant users, or it is a larger group there. It does not say we don't have the younger user base. Because of privacy laws, we actually don't look at much under the age of 18 just because what we have from a PII perspective, personally identifiable information. So we tend to look at 18 and above on that side.
But they're the people with money, right? Okay, here we go. All right, Greg, thank you so much for the great question. Okay, next one comes in from Stephanie. Stephanie wants to know, she says, I've tried conquesting other brands on Google, but I'll admit it gets quite expensive. If I did it on Bing, would I expect the same? So can you talk to us a little bit maybe about how the prices compare? Will they get better bang for their buck? What's going on with that?
Yeah. When we're talking about pricing, it depends. It depends upon your brand. It depends upon who you're conquesting on. It really depends upon competition in the marketplace. So price is determined via the market. So we have no control over price. It really depends upon competition. If more people are bidding and there's more competition, price will naturally be driven up at the CPC level. So we personally have no control of that. High CPCs directly correlate with competition based on how many people are bidding on the same term. So will it be less? Tough to say depending upon what exactly the term is, when exactly you're bidding on it. But overall, our marketplace is determined by competition. So if it's a high price, it's usually because there's still a lot of competition. In the marketplace, a lot of people bidding on the same.
All right, fair enough.
I do also want to call it something that could be an interesting take on this because I've done a lot of presentations on like when you're doing conquesting competitive, how do you bring it down? So quality score comes into play for determining your CPC. So when you do conquesting, a lot of times you have a lower quality score because you're not as relevant. So if I'm Ford, I'm not as relevant for BMW. But what you can look out to impact that quality score is when you have a landing page and you have landing page content that if you are going to be conquesting, drive them to a page that does a comparison of the products they're looking at. So if it's the, and again, I apologize, I'm not the best autophile. People ask me, car I have, my first response is,
you know, PPC, but maybe not, you know, torque on cars. Got it.
Ford Focus versus I'm trying to think of a relevant other, like the Mini Cooper, because those were in my consideration set. But if you have a page that compares those two vehicles to each other, it'll increase your quality score when you're bidding on Mini Cooper if you're Ford. So then that will decrease your CPC in the long run. It'll help you pay less because you are more relevant for the keyword and the query you're going after. So it's just something to think about that goes back to best practice in paid search. If you're conquesting, there's ways to work around it, and I've seen really good examples.
All right.
And this, what we spoke to earlier about having that targeted landing page becomes so important no matter what strategy you're doing, because again, aligning the landing page with the consumer intent, but also to your point, Christy, it also helps with the cost and your cost score, which, so an overall, a good practice to
all right. Follow up from Stephanie came in. She says, I feel like there'd be less competition on Bing, especially in the areas that I'm targeting. So the cost per click would be a lot lower on the conquesting front compared with Google. I might try it on Bing and watch out for some results. And then Stephanie also wanted to know, all of those stats that you previously had mentioned in the presentation, she says, are the audience trends only for U.S. or are they for Canada as well?
U.S. only is the focus.
U.S. only was the focus. All right, Stephanie, great points. She says she's in Canada. How different is it in Canada?
I'll take this one. So I know when we talk to our research team and Amanda Certifits on that side, they're like, it's U.S., therefore we can only speak to the U.S. What I can say from being in search for a long time is a lot of times what we see in the U.S. does parlay over, maybe not exactly to the exact percentage levels. We see a lot of the same trends that happen in the U.S. also go into the Canada market. The users are fairly similar, but it might not be the exact same percentage across the board. So we have done a couple of our studies, both U.S. and Canada, see how they vary.
All right. Fair enough. Stephanie, thank you so much for those questions. And she says, true. Thanks. All right. Great enough. Okay, last three questions, and then we'll close out the show. Greg has the next question. He says, how do you get the keywords that the OEM is using so that we can vertically align? I love the but is there an answer?
it's a good question. And fortunately, this is the challenge in aligning tier one, tier two, and tier three, which is why on our end, we are pushing this message and pushing this research at the tier one OEM level so that we can, from the top down, help with alignment. Unfortunately, there is no exact way, unless you go internally, if there is a resource for you that we can supply that information due to, we can't give out keywords that other accounts are bidding on. But again, on our end, we're trying to push for an aligned strategy as we see it drives performance by speaking to OEM brands. And if you have an internal resource or internal help that you can help get information, that would probably be your best bet.
All right, Greg, thank you so much for the great question. Joey, another attendee, wrote in to Greg, try tools like SpyFu to discover keywords. SpyFu, S-P-Y-F-U. Greg, maybe that'll help you out. I don't know. Joey, thank you so much. You're always so sweet. All right. As a matter of fact, let's go to Joey's question. He's one of the last two questions that we have. Joey's question was, my current organic Bing traffic is heavily weighted to desktop. 2 years ago when I ran Bing ads, traffic was also heavily weighted to desktop. What's the current breakdown of desktop versus mobile traffic for Bing?
It's a good question. So the way we talk about it is when we look at our market share overall, our market share on desktop and PCs is 33%. So 1 in 3 clicks come from the Bing network on a PC. When we add the mobile network, and the mobile is down to about 20% of our volume, so it's 1 in 5 are coming off of mobile devices today.
Very interesting. All right, great question. Thank you so much, Joey. By the way, Greg, Stephanie wrote in also. She says she uses a tool called SEM Rush to discover other people's keywords. So maybe that would help you as well. Greg, good luck with that. Joey, great question. Okay, last question in the queue comes from Thomas. He says, without knowing too much about Bing Ads or Google AdWords Manager tools, how best to review ad copy for quality? Do you have a tool like the Google AdWords Preview tool that can help me with that? Again, this question is from Thomas.
So depending on what you mean on quality. So the preview tool is really great. I use the preview tool less on quality just to make sure that I can see are my ads showing or not. And that's important. I bring that for one reason is, if you have everybody in your company going and doing a search directly in the live search results for your dealership name or a brand, and they don't click through, that negatively can impact your overall campaign. So it sees, oh, we've shown the ad, and evidently wasn't relevant. There wasn't a click through on there. So that's one of the reasons we recommend using the preview tool, is because then you're not having impressions show up against that ad and against that your account that aren't getting clicks. Now, if you're looking at the quality side, like is the ad, how is it doing? What you can do is you can go in and actually look at the quality score metrics. So you can have ad relevance, landing page relevance, and expected CTR. The expected click-through rate is one of the three categories, and it says, do we, based on your ad and the keywords you're bidding on, think that you are going to hit the click-through rate that should get based on the keyword and how other people, your competitors, perform on that ad copy? So if you have a low expected click-through rate, we give you it's below average, average, above average. If you're below average, it means you need to spend time focusing on your ad copy, and that could be a combination of the ad copy as well as the ad extensions that are showing there. You want to optimize that to focus your ad copy, make it better. That's a long-winded answer for that. But there's a lot you can
do. I believe the answer is yes.
The easiest way to look at your expected click-through rate will tell you on the ad copy side is do you have room to improve your ad copy? And I'd say about 90% of the time, people have room to improve their ad copy and just continue testing. You should have at least two ads live at any point in time and continue testing what your ads say to improve and to see how do you improve your click-through rates.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Thomas, great question. Ladies, it's been a hell of an hour. Thank you so much for spending it with us. Before I close out the show, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say one last thing to the audience. Is there anything like you think, you know, you should tell the audience, hey, if I were you, this is what I would be doing, or any last words of advice that you can give them?
Yeah, sure. Well, one, thank you for having me. It was exciting.
Are you kidding? This is not the last time you're going to be on here, Amanda. I don't know what you're talking about.
And I would just say for parting words that, again, given the marketplace, given how competitive it is, and given that demand that we're expected to see, if you're not on Bing, certainly give it a test. If you're only doing one strategy by staying safe maybe and only bidding on your own terms, or there's rooms to grow a non-brand, or maybe if you can conquest, certainly try it and start to test it, because it can really begin to grow your consumer base, which is the goal at the end of the day.
Christy?
And I'll just leave it at that. I think she did a great job summarizing that. The thing I would just specify is always be testing. It goes back to, like, I love the quote, coffees for closers, but it's testing. Like, if you want to close, you always want to be testing on what you're doing from keywords, ad copy, your different strategies, because that's how you stay ahead of the game. If you're not testing, it's really easy to fall behind and not even realize you're behind.
And with that, I'm going to thank both of you so much. Phenomenal presentation. Thank you so much. Great data. I love that you shared it with us. It always comes down to the numbers. So thank you so much for taking those numbers, not just sharing the numbers, but Amanda, thank you for interpreting them for us. All right. So thank you so much, ladies. I hope this won't be the last time that you two will grace my screen. Fantastic presentation. Of course, I want to remind the audience, a link to download a copy of this presentation is going to be emailed to you later today. So feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It's also going to be posted online within 24 hours. All you have to do is go to dealeron.com/webinar. And from there, you can view our upcoming webinar schedule or access this webinar and any of our past webinars as well. And, I want to know what you thought of today's presentation. I thought it was fabulous. But some people over at DealerOn don't care what I think. They want to know what you think. All right? So I got three short questions for you in this post-webinar survey. And it really helps us out. Please fill it out and let us know your thoughts on today's presentation. All right? Thank you so much. And, yeah, I want to let you know, these super smart ladies, guess what? They're going to be going to Digital Dealer April 10th through the 12th. They're going to be speaking on two different topics. So, like I said, great on the webinar, great in the recording. You know what? They're even better live. So if you're going to find your way to Orlando for the Digital Dealer Convention, please make sure you stop in and see both of them, Amanda Paciola and Christy Olson from Bing and Microsoft. They have some great information to share, as you can tell from today. To find out more, visit digitaldealer.com. Also, are you losing valuable traffic because of a slow mobile site? It's estimated that, well, over half of your website traffic may be coming from mobile devices. Don't worry. DealerOn's here to help. Guess what? We have a mobile site speed test for free. You can sign up for it during that great survey I just talked about. All you have to do is give us your URL and let the magic begin. It's a great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. And DealerOn's going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Vegas, baby. It's the end of March. Are you going to be there? I'm going to be there. So stop by booth 3493-CHARLIE. We have the best booth around. We got an open bar and everything. And we're not just bringing the best digital marketing tools and some free booze to NADA this year. We're bringing some serious knowledge. Our very own Greg Gifford is going to have two sessions on the Lego Masters Building Guide to Local SEO for Car Dealers. We also have our Chief Creative Officer, Michael DeVito, who's going to be talking about selling more cars with your mobile website strategy. You're not going to want to miss that. And also, we're giving away $100 if you get a demo from DealerOn at NADA. So there's no reason to stop by, get a picture with me, and a free, I don't know, I think it was Bloody Marys that were really big last year. So come on by, and that goes for you too. Are you going to be there? Stop by, get a Bloody Mary with me, all right? And we'll see you at NADA. Invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next DealerOn webinar. 3 brilliant strategies to drive traffic to your showroom. Do we have that slide at the end here? Oh, I already talked about this. Yeah. There we go. 3 brilliant strategies to drive traffic to your showroom. Customers are visiting less dealerships in person and instead doing more research online than ever before. This shift means that today's car business is all about conversion of opportunities. Dealerships need to focus on converting customers from the telephone and the internet to a showroom visit. Or you know what? They're just going to lose the sale. Is your dealership proactively driving more traffic to the showroom? Or are you just spending money on ads and hoping for the best? In this amazing one-hour webinar, trainer Laura Madison will teach 3 brilliant, actionable strategies that drive traffic to your showroom. Furthermore, this exceptional presentation will lay out how to create a staff with a proactive mindset that masters conversion and dominates sales. Attendees of this dynamic presentation will learn how to stop the telephone profit leak, create a proactive culture, master social media, and so much more. Don't miss this chance to hear from one of the brightest stars in the automotive industry. If you are ready to learn 3 brilliant strategies to drive more traffic to your showroom, you can't afford to miss this presentation, so register now. And don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, well, heck, I'd love to hear from you. You can track me down online. I'm everywhere. I'm on all the automotive social networks. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. Or you know what? Just give up. Just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. I love hearing from you. I hope you'll reach out to me. Now, I want to thank you all so very much for your time today. And, of course, I want to hope that I see you all on another webinar in our continuing DealerOn education series. Take care, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
And be kind. Take care.